Wish to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just glad to be with you again this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing, Lord, on this time together. I ask your blessing upon your word. We thank you for it, Father. Help us have ears to hear it, Father. Lord, that we might live out that life, Father, that we would recognize you when you return and see you as you are, Lord, because we're being what you would like us to be. Again, we thank you for your goodness. Help us be faithful to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, I want to begin reading. I'm going to read in Hebrews chapter 4. My thought is about the rest that's in the believer, and yet often the struggle that the believer has. This is dealing with some of the issues the first church had, but the principles that I want to gain for it is not just where they were at, but where we are at today. Oftentimes we've talked about how we can read the Bible and see the Jews as the enemy, and we can just think, oh, they're how bad they are, you know, or how blind they are at times, or all through the Old Testament and in the New Testament. But yet, people are the same today, God is the same today, and the devil is the same today. A lot of times, the situations just get substituted. We're the same people, have the same problems, same issues, they just have a different name. They just have a different problem. And that's the way the spiritual life is. It is not just all laid out in black and white. You can read the Bible and think that you have all the things just where they're supposed to be and completely miss God. I mean, we've seen that throughout history. How many times that we see the people who think that they're the people of God and God saying, I don't know you. And in the time of Christ, the people that were the people of God, and they didn't recognize Jesus. In fact, they hated him and had him crucified. And we think, well, we would never do that. We would never be in that place. We're too spiritual or too wise for that. And that's exactly the false wisdom that the boys were talking about, a couple of them, that think that we are not those people. And we've just substitute, and so many times we can just substitute our issues, and they are actually the same issues that they had. There's just a different title to them. There's just different words to them. The rest that comes in following the Lord, not because we think we have all the bases covered, but because we're just doing what's right. Not because we don't have any problems. Not because we never question anything or wonder what we should do, but because we are doing and following what the Lord has. You know, some of the most spiritual struggles that we have are the times whenever it seems like we just don't know what to do sometimes. or we feel like we don't know what to do, and yet there's something that just says, this is what I have to do. And it often brings the biggest struggles in our lives of the turmoil, the battle between man and God. And it's those times to most people that are unbelievers, they just look like, why are they having such a problem here? Why is there such a struggle? They don't look like they have any rest, or they don't look like they have any peace. But they're making decisions and they're fighting battles that the world can never understand. Someone that's got it all down pat and is just living by a set of laws or a set of rules. And here it just seems like their life just floats right on by. Seems like they're at rest and at peace in the way they live. And yet the man of faith, you know, we read all these things in the Bible. We find short glimpses of men of faith in the Bible. And they compact a whole lifetime into two or three verses a lot of times about this person. But the point there, the time that they focus in on the Bible is the time of the real battle in their lives. The real choices in their lives they're making, whether they're going to live by faith and actually follow God or not. And most of the time, the onlookers that are looking at that person are wondering, why are they having such trouble? Why are they struggling so much? Why can't they just rest and go along with everybody else? Why is it so difficult for them? And the thing about it is God singles those out and ignores the rest of them. It's that struggle of faith, that struggle of liberty, that often brings us in such conflict, not with God, but with the world. But the world is so powerful and so has our ear that we hear the struggle and the battle with ourselves, with the world, and with our flesh, and don't realize the rest that we have with God. We recognize we're in tune to the conflict that we're going through. But it's the conflict with the world and with the flesh, not with God. We have such a messed up perception of who God is. We think most of our conflicts come from God, and we blame God for them. Just like our circumstances and our situations. Often we blame God and think God is the author of that. How often in the world you've heard people, well, if God loves me, how would He let me go through something like this? Or how would He let this trouble come upon me? Or why would He take this one from me? Or let me be hurt? It's because our concept of God, we are in tune with the world and we miss this quietness, this who God is. You know, the reason, if we understand that God made us with a free will to make our own choices, and He is not going to overpower that will. He is not going to do that. Even if someone chooses to take their free will and hurt somebody else with it, He lets them. Not because He wants those things to happen bad to us. It's because He respects our will so much. He honors you to have the choice to make your life so much that He'll let you ruin your life with those choices. Because it's you. It's you. And He lets you make those choices. He'll let you make terrible mistakes. And He lets you. Because He loves you enough to let you make those choices, even though it hurts you and even though it hurts other people. But he also loves you enough that he provides a way for you to turn from those choices and that life back to him. You know, even the gloriousness of why the reason Jesus came has been polluted by the world. The world teaches us that Jesus came to die for your sins so that you can be forgiven. He didn't die so you could be forgiven. God's heart is not one that cannot forgive. It's full of forgiveness and mercy. He died so that you could be set free and so that you could actually receive forgiveness, so that you could actually be the kind of person that can forgive just like he forgave. But it wasn't his death that allowed God to forgive us. The very nature of God is full of forgiveness and mercy. But we had become entrapped in this world and become slaves to Satan. And he set us free. That little twist that the world has of their opinion of who God is, thinking that he's an angry God just waiting to punish us, but he punished Jesus instead, so now we don't have to be punished. That's not who God is in the very heart of it. God is full of mercy and love and grace, and he would gladly give it to us, but we're enslaved. We're in bondage to the world. We're in bondage to our thoughts of who God really is. And that's why it's so important, this believer's rest. Let's just read here. Therefore, let us fear, if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard it. You know, a lot of times we think that if we just hear what the Bible says and we apply ourselves to it, that that is what faith is. I saw somewhere someone that had a Muslim country, a Muslim, and under it, it was faith. You know, Muslims believe they have faith, that it takes faith for them to follow Muhammad. I mean, if you talk to them, they talk about having faith in Muhammad, faith in their religion, of whether they're going to obey it or not. Is that faith, even though it's misguided? If it is, what is the difference between it and someone trying to keep the law? What's the difference between it and someone just trying to obey the New Testament and keep the teachings of Jesus? We talked about faith and the faith. Faith, we can have faith in any kind of religion, any kind of set of rules, any kind of organization of rules or churches or whatever. But it's all a substitution for what it means to trust and have faith in the Lord. These, even though they had the word preached to them, it didn't profit them because it was not united in faith. When we read that, we read, oh yeah, it was those guys. They had the message preached to them, the good news preached to them, and they didn't mix it with faith. Not like me. That's the way we read the Bible so many times. Oh yeah, those guys. Yeah, they had the word preached to them, but they didn't mix it with faith like I do. That was exactly the way they were thinking when they heard it. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, "As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, "And God rested on the seventh day from all his works." And again in the passage, "They shall not enter my rest." This were people who were keeping a day for the Lord, that thinking that they had entered in. And he said, "You haven't entered in. You've missed it. You've missed it." It says, "Therefore, since it remains for some to enter in, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter in because of disobedience." Oh, I wasn't strict enough on how I did all of this. That's not the disobedience he's talking about. It's not the lawlessness he's talking about. It's that lawlessness of our faith yielded to him. Interesting thing here, it says, "And God rested on the seventh day from all his works." The early church talked about the eighth day. You see, God didn't go back to work the eighth day. He entered into his rest. And when we enter that Sabbath or that rest, that trust in the Lord, some people say, "Oh, you don't keep the Sabbath." Well, we do. Because we've entered that rest. And our Sabbath is perpetual. It's not just one day. It's a perpetual day. You know, we've talked about it before. Haven't in a while. But when I go to work tomorrow, I'll probably wear this same set of clothes tomorrow. We don't put stop in dressing up on Sunday. We like to be nice and clean, but the point is we don't have a reserved garb or a reserved dress that's only for the day we meet. Well, why not? Because we don't put a difference between what we do today and what we do tomorrow. I heard a song talked about a lady that went to church on Sunday and she prayed. And then Monday, she broke all the things that she said on Sunday. And then the rest of the week, she didn't even care. Till Sunday, she's back in church again, praying again. How many times we live that way? Oh, we're charged up on Sunday. We hit Monday and then by Wednesday or Thursday, "Oh, I should, but I don't even care." And then Sunday again, "Oh, I'm going to recharge. I'm going to go back, yeah, or we're going to do it all again." Because we've got emphasis on one day. Our religion is set apart. It's mentalized. What's the word? Compartmentalized. It's all over here. It's not that way in the kingdom of God. We are what we are. We're no different on today than we are tomorrow. We don't put a big emphasis on, "Oh, I'm going to be one thing one day and the next I'm not." Because we are what we are. God sees us all the way through. He doesn't see us all dressed up on one day, putting our religious garb on, and the next day, not having it. And just kind of slipping a little bit. He sees us as what we are. When we don't, that's what he was talking about when prayer oh, I pray on Sunday, but then the rest of the week I don't. We have a special prayer. We have special things that we do that make us all different. We've compartmentalized all of those things instead of just being who we are. Part of freedom, part of liberty, is being who we are all the time. Loving the Lord all the time. It remains, therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience. Focus is that it's not about keeping one set of laws, one set of teachings, one set, it doesn't just change, boom, 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 boom. When we enter into rest, it's a life that we have. The verse that one of the boys had was, when we see Him, we shall see Him as He is, for we shall be like Him. It's because we are like Him now. It's not because we do this or we do that. It's because we have surrendered ourselves to Him and allowed ourselves to be like Him. One other thing that, you know, tithing. The reason we don't teach a tithing, because the idea it implies is, I gave my 10% to the Lord, the rest is all mine. When we've entered into His kingdom, it's His. Not just 10% of it. It's all His. The life we live is His. Not just this portion, or this day, or this thing we wear, or this thing we do, as being religious. Entering in to His rest means laying down our performance and learning to live the life that He wants us to be in our very heart and soul, to be what He wants us to be. And sometimes that doesn't always look just like we think it ought to. Sometimes there's people that may be facing these struggles and doing these things that are being like Christ, that don't always fit the mold that we think they ought to. That's what these people in the Bible that we see and we lift up as faith, they were doing things that just didn't look right to what everybody else thought. They were facing the struggle of faith. You know, we talk about the rest and peace, and we see people just resting in peace and have peace with God, never have a struggle. And we think, oh, wow, that looks right. But anytime there's real faith, there is going to be a struggle in this world. There is going to be a struggle. And it's the world bringing you that struggle, not God. It's the conflict with your flesh that causes all the big struggle. We can have rest and peace with God and be fighting the hardest struggle in our life. Jesus, the night before He was crucified, was facing the biggest struggle in His life, a crisis in His life. And yet, He found peace through all of it. But His struggle wasn't with God. His struggle with the world that was attacking Him and bringing it to Him. There's an interesting it kind of shows an analogy there. The book, it's in French, the Les Miserables, the Miserables. And it basically depicts the story of two men. One of them is it's during the conflict, part of a revolution. It's actually based in the time after the revolution. But there was a new king on, and he was a king, and he promoted righteousness. And they were fierce to punish wrongdoers. And it starts out with this one man in prison. And then the overseer, the overlord. And he was a righteous man, just going after anybody that would do wrong. And this man had been serving in slave labor, hard slave labor, for 20 years. He had served 19 years of his 20-year sentence for stealing a loaf of bread to feed his family. 20 years in hard labor. And he was released. But for the rest of his life, he had to report for his parole every month to a certain place. And he missed one. So he went on the lam. He just had to stay away or he'd go back to prison for the rest of his life. And they were getting close to finding him, and he found refuge in a monastery. And he stayed the night. They fed him, they clothed him, and took care of him, just took him in. And he woke up in the middle of the night, and he saw all the silver candlesticks and the things around. So he loaded them all up in a bag and stole them. Got out down the street and tried to sell one of them, and someone recognized it, and they grabbed him and took him with all this bag of merchandise back to the monastery. And the priest there said, they brought him back and said, "Here, we caught the thief that stole all this stuff." And he said, "Well, that's not a thief. He's my brother. And he forgot to take a few things. Here, put them in his bag." And they put those things in his bag. And it just, how can this be? So instead of going back to prison, he was set free with all this money even. And it just transformed him the way he thought. So he started a factory and started helping people. And one person that he tried to help, one of his foremen sent them away, and it caused her to go into, she cut her hair off to sell it. She was trying to support her child, and she let him pull her teeth so that she could support her child, and just fell down in despair. And he met with her and kind of scolded her. "Why'd you?" And he said, "Well, you sent me away from your factory." And so he took it upon himself to make sure that he supported her. He took care of the daughter and helped her, supported her. And all the while, this man that was the overseer, the righteous man, was looking for him because he was a sinner. Escaped from, and he was doing all these things, and they almost caught him, and this man recognized him and thought and was gonna, and then they heard that, oh, this man had been captured. And he realized, wait, someone's in my place, someone's going to prison thinking that it's me going to prison. And so this struggle began. How can I let this innocent man go to jail in my place? I'm free, I'm rich, I've got everything going for me. But there's another man going back to jail in my place. So he turned himself in. Went before the judge and said, "You've got the wrong man, I am him." And they all knew him because he was a successful man at the time then. Didn't know that he was this prisoner that had escaped. Struggle after struggle that he faced, trying to do the right thing, no matter what it cost him. And this righteous man trying to uphold all of these things. And finally, the righteous man was even trapped during the revolution, and this man, ask for him to have control over this righteous man. And he took him out, had a pistol and was supposed to shoot him to get rid of him. And he let him go. He's let him free. Another struggle. Here's this man's going to chase me. And he said, if you let me go, I'm going to chase you till you die. But he let him go again. He did that twice. The struggle that he was facing. All I have to do is finish this guy and I can live my life. But he didn't. He let him go. Let him go. Again. The man, the righteous man, going to pursue him because of righteousness, and the other man living this righteousness. It just depicts the story of faith. The person that, even though it hurts him, does right. Even though it might not look religious, he does right. There's a struggle with that. He was conflicted often, but he knew where the peace was. He knew where the rest was. It transcends obeying all the rules. It transcends obeying all the laws. It's faith. Trusting in the Lord. And he had entered that rest. The struggle of liberty. The struggle of freedom. That's the real rest that Christ has offered us to enter into, to live in. It isn't always just calm and peaceful. Oftentimes we're facing the hardest decisions we ever face in our lives. But we choose the Lord's way.
Jesus have risen and mercy. Sweet and blessed country. to